Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Conscious Vibe Podcast,
where we elevate intellect through conscious dialogue
while exploring race, politics, business, and culture.
I'm Dr. Daryl L. Jones.
And I'm Charles D. Mitchell.
So, Charles, how are you, man?
Hey, man. You know, I'm actually excited to see you today.
It's good to see you.
I was like thinking about on the way here. It's like we haven't seen each other in weeks.
It's been weeks. It's
way
been
too weeks. Long.
We literally live 3 minutes away from each other.
Yeah, a week doesn't go by without seeing each other.
Yeah.
So weird.
Yeah. That's amazing. I love it.
Yeah. So, Michelle Parad, welcome to The Conscious Vibe. How are you today?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you so much for having me on.
So I would normally
have sun shining through the windowsill, but today is a little bit of a tropical storm in Florida.
That's what Well, we'll take you as you are. So much of what you do in your mentoring practice resonates with me, and I'm sure with Charles, and he'll talk about that. But this whole thing about self-actualization, it's almost like you were in my head as I was reading about you. So what I glean and what I would term you as a mentor in creating a conscious mindset and well-being, if I had to say it in one sentence, what does that mean for our listeners in your words?
So it's a really good summary, I would say, a very high level. But there's a lot of people that are into consciousness or are spiritual guides. So how I would say I would differentiate myself a little bit is really where I bridge spirituality with science in the way that I help people approach their own businesses. And so I've really specialized in helping people design their business in a way that helps them become self-actualized through really bringing out what it is that they're gifted in and really what is, you know, sparking them in their day-to-day. And so it's difficult for many of us to know what that is because we've been so conditioned to follow a specific path or, you know, socially, you know, there are specific constructs to what we believe is possible and not possible for our day-to-day life. And, you know, sometimes we pursue businesses because we think it's lucrative, you know, there's something to be gained there. But it's not really aligned with your heart. Mm-hmm. And so oftentimes those can fall apart because if your heart isn't in it, it's very difficult to have the persistence to carry on and in what is a marathon of building a business. And so I start with people at a top level of what's going on in their business and how to recraft it and redesign it in a way that suits them better. And oftentimes that could mean changing up the people that they work with, changing up their environment, and even the problems that they think they have in their business. We're actually looking under the hood and going much deeper into looking at all aspects of their life from a holistic standpoint. And also, you know, they're going back to, you know, childhood traumas and genetic patterns and things like that. And sometimes you can find patterns in other areas of your life that are affecting your business because you and your business are kind of a reflection of one. It's not two separate entities. It's really, you know, going to shift and change as you shift and change and grow.
You know, Michelle, I wanted to dig into, I don't want to get too far off topic. However, you said something just then, and that was exactly what I was thinking about when you said all facets of your life. It seems to me that your work, and as I was exploring your website, seeing some of the customer love that you were getting on how you've helped others in their journeys, it seems that your work is really applicable around just about anything that we encounter in life. not just in business, but also in things that you're trying to overcome, just perhaps even in your personal life. Or I remember seeing the first that quote that someone made about how you help them find an intimate partner and manifest even a raise in their work, right? And so I'm thinking there's so much more to this beyond. The moment I read some of the stuff, I was like, wow, this sounds really interesting. You know, particularly when you connect it with meditation, sort of like the Joe Dispenza. And then of course this woman quotes Joe Dispenza in her quote. And you were saying how it goes, or I think she was saying how it goes well beyond that. Can you talk about how this inner working, and there's so many things I want to cover because I was so excited to have this conversation with you. But can you talk about some of that, how that impacts people personally when you start to deal with that conscious work that we all have inside of us that can allow us to basically create the life that we want for ourselves?
Absolutely.
I know that was a lot.
Well, you know, it's really, whenever I work with people, I tend to just very organically discover in a very intuitive process what it is that their real challenge is. So they come in saying, you know, they want XYZ, and then later on it's actually something else that's kind of underneath the hood. So, you know, with the example with the soulmate, oftentimes, you know, it can be a byproduct, right? So when you're growing and creating space for you to become a better person, and you find ultimately everything is a lesson. Everything is a lesson around us. So when we unlock what the lesson is, what we're learning, for example, from our past relationships, there's gold there, right? So everything that's there is meant for us to learn specific virtues and to learn specific lessons. And so once we actually acknowledge what those are and we, you know, release them from our field, which is something I do on an energetic level, then, you know, and you kind of also on an emotional level, so it's emotional thought patterns, and then consciously recognizing what it is that is your actual difficulty, or shadow work, I guess is what you could say. Then you can really work on releasing that and then never really repeating that ever again, right? So, you know, in the case of the woman who, you know, had a, finally found her soulmate, you know, she had lots of previous relationships that were broken, and, you know, ultimately they didn't quite respect her. And so, you know, we looked back at why that is, and that kind of linked back to, you know, her parents being divorced and how she saw that going on. And so a lot of it was she took on that information from her divorce as this is what always ends up happening to couples, is they break up and towards the end, you know, there's fighting and people don't get along. So she continuously manifested that for herself, because subconsciously that's what she thought relationships looked like. And so, which is, you know, it's quite interesting for us as a population, when we have increasing, you know, more than 50% now of divorce rates, it's very interesting to look at, you know, where we're seeing this as a model in other relationships and how we're taking that on subconsciously, that we're manifesting a relationship that's going to ultimately fall apart and end. And so once we released that fear for her, she was able to find a really sustainable partner that was there to grow with her really in the long term. And now, you know, they are engaged to be married. So it looks like it worked out. But yes, you're right. I do work with people across the spectrum. As I said, you know, business is sort of the entry point, or entrepreneurship. And then we really dive into all the different realms. Because ultimately everything is interconnected in our inner self. So.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting when you, talked about on your website, these core tenets of self-actualization. Mm-hmm. It's really critical to start with that foundation. And I think, you know, again, yours was so thorough in terms of how you discuss it. And you're clear around things like integrity and justice and balance. Mm. I think that's important because if you don't establish that as a foundation, it's easy to minimize the importance of some of these things. So one of the things that was really interesting to me is your background. So undergrad, University of Chicago, grad school in London, and economics. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So that's not really a clear pathway to the work that you do right now. And none of us have that in terms of what we do now. Yeah. Charles and I don't either.
Yeah.
So can you talk about some of the things you discovered, self-discoveries in your journey through this typical kind of business zone you were taking in economics, and now this shift into serving entrepreneurs and liberating them to be the best selves they can be?
Yeah, well, you know, growing up, I was a very good student. I checked all the boxes and I was very studious and, you know, wanted to get into good schools, good academic schools. That was the primary goal. And I came from a Russian immigrant family that, you know, there were, you know, specific types of jobs in their purview that one could have that is prestigious and acceptable. So, you know, growing up in that environment, that's what I thought I should do. I should follow the rules and then I will be successful, right? And so, you know, it's interesting how doing the practical thing is not always practical because yeah. Life never really, you know, there's no guarantees, right? And yes, I definitely think that it provided me with some safety in terms of, you know, going to wonderful schools helped me get certain jobs and it did help establish, you know, an ability to, at any point in time, I can go and get a job, right? Because I have this pedigree. But, you know, through my journey of working in organizations that I felt ended up not necessarily having a soul, at least at the beginning part of my journey, I really then looked very specifically at finding organizations that were more purpose-driven. Mm-hmm. So then I went into working in clean technology and human resources and other organizations that were kind of on the cusp of sustainability was kind of really the area I started with that was more conscious for me and more interesting in terms of helping the world. And even, you know, in college, I did major in public policy. And, you know, so it was really the beginning point of me wanting to help the world, but not knowing how. So I wanted to study it. And it was, from an intellectual standpoint, super interesting. to learn, you know, about healthcare policy and environmental policy and how that can shape the way that things are administered. But, you know, I didn't find that then working in a government environment suited me for really making an impact. I think there might be certain personalities that is well suited to. But I wanted to, you know, as a young person, go out there and really learn and grow. And so, you know, I went into technology essentially because these smaller organizations really fostered an environment where you could essentially give presentations to large organizations and get responsibilities you really wouldn't otherwise. And so I really learned all different facets of business. It wasn't my intention necessarily to do that, but I fell into different roles that were around marketing and business development for these tech companies. And I really got to understand why companies fail a lot of the times. And it has absolutely nothing to do with how amazing their technology is. Like, they could have the best technology, the best founders, pretty much everything going for them. But, you know, there's certain factors that I would say is a commonality of, you know, investors in particular, where, you know, there's only certain types of companies that investors like to put their money towards. And so, you know, for those organizations that it takes them longer, like semiconductor businesses, it takes them more than 10 years to develop. They have a difficulty really finding that, you know, investment. So, I mean, that's just one example ultimately of, you know, where there is difficulties of really in a societal way of really having a supportive environment for cutting edge technologies that could really change all of our lives, right? And could solve all the world's problems ultimately, because we have all the solutions available to us. It's just, for some reason, we haven't built a good enough ecosystem for enough of them to really thrive. So I've seen that from, you know, the material plane of what goes on in the dynamics. But now, as I started to study esoteric principles and spiritual principles, that started for me about 7 years ago when I kind of had what I would call my own awakening. Then I started to really understand, okay, there's different factors into play. There's yes, like the societal factors, but there's also the mindset factors. And there's people's own personal limiting beliefs about what they can and can't do, and their own resourcefulness, and their own energy and how they take care of themselves and their own well-being. And so all of that stuff really started to interest me in terms of how that could play a part in helping founders become more successful as well. But it was definitely an evolution where I kept my world super separate. So I had, you know, I was working in tech companies, and then on the side, I was really doing a business and healing. And then I started to really recognize where there were synergies between the two worlds that I was in. So that's where I really wanted to bring it together in what I call is my ikigai, which is, you know, different cross sections of what I'm gifted at. This is a Japanese term, what I'm gifted at, what is important for the market, and what I'm good at as well. And so it's really all the combination of things that make my background unique. And now, you know, having gone through all of that, I can't say that I, you know, regret having had any of those experiences, right? We all sometimes think like, oh, man, if only, you know, I didn't go down this path that was, you know, not necessarily suited, but it was all those mistakes, so to speak, that where I learned so much about, you know, what makes organizations, for example, not necessarily suited for individuals to thrive in, right? And so even those things that necessarily you look back at and are like, okay, that was kind of a dark period in my life, but it allowed me a lot of lessons for what, you know, what needs to change ultimately and how we can change that. And if I wasn't in those, I wouldn't necessarily empathize with the people I'm working with now or understand what they're going through or understand the dynamics that are happening. So I always believe that, you know, even those things that we like accidentally got into, they're all helping us in one way or another towards growth and towards ultimately, you know, self-actualization as well.
Yeah, Michelle, when you think about how you help particularly entrepreneurs thrive, and we'll use the word or the term flourish, how do you leverage the healing work? What modality? I mean, I was really intrigued with particularly like theta healing. I think that was one of those. Mm-hmm. Sort of to learn more. But also you talked about your gene keys and Kabbalah. I mean, there's so many different things that I saw that you leverage wherever you need to bring the spiritual component to your work. How do you make your decisions about what's going to be best for who when you're doing that?
Yeah, well, it's really, you know, it does become pretty intuitive in terms of the process. But, you know, so my main practice is theta healing, and then I kind of weave in other things as needed. So theta healing is really a meditative prayer, hypnosis, combined with psychology. It's really everything together. So I like to say, you know, if you go to a psychologist, probably you can talk about the same problem for 10 years, and maybe in 10 years, you'll be able to finally figure it out. With theta healing, what the benefit is really, it's not about talking about it endlessly. Because as you talk about something, you're actually repeating it. Because our words, our spoken words, are so powerful. And so anything we continuously say, we're inadvertently manifesting those, right? So what we try to do is very quickly get to what the bottom is of the actual belief system behind the problem. And so we dig and dig and dig until we find the earliest childhood memory associated with the specific problem. And so once we identify what that is, and sometimes we even look at it being your parents, like a genetic problem, or even if you believe in past life as well. So it can go even deeper than in this lifetime. So we really look at where you inherited it in the first place. And then we look at releasing the traumatic experience from your brain. And this is through a meditation process. So it's connecting directly with source energy. And then from there, you know, it's basically it's doing a command. So you're commanding, you're co-creating and commanding through the universe that, certain belief systems be released, and then you replace them with the ones that you desire to have instead.
So I'm assuming you're asking lots of questions the way.
Are you asking
lots of questions to sort of get to the root cause of whatever's happening with someone?
Yeah, you ask questions, and then also I get intuitive insights, because really the more of this work that you do, the more you open your different senses and are able to, you know, I get symbols and pictures, and then I ask, you know, can you tell me about this picture I'm getting? So oftentimes it will point
to you, those symbols and pictures. They're part of your unique gift, I would assume, right?
Yeah. Right. So I have several different, you know, clairaudience and clairvoyance, and even clairsentience. So those are the things that, as you practice energy healing, you can really, and anyone really has those abilities. I think we've just all kind of shut them down. But so I will get specific insights, and oftentimes it's nothing I recognize, but then it's leading us to the correct place that we want to look at. And I might get some really interesting, disturbing things, but I say them anyways. And then they're like, wow, you know, that's, never knew that we would, you know, go in that place where, you know, maybe it was a picture of them being abused or something along those lines. And sometimes people are shy to really bring that up, or they've shut off that memory, so they don't want to talk about it. And so I'm often getting the insights of where we want to look in any specific session. So I weave that in with other different types of meditations that I've learned over time, because my ultimate goal is, I don't want people to rely specifically on me. I think that, you know, it's helpful to have a third party, so to speak, objective, but, you know, a different person to give you some insights. But I like to teach people how they can start to really learn for themselves how to get their own answers. And so there's different methods to do that, but you can do muscle testing, and you can do different meditations to really help you understand your own body system. And for example, like if a decision doesn't seem right for you, like you'll get a tightening in your solar plexus or in your heart. Like each person's system is a little bit different, but you're always getting signals from yourself. Like, does this feel correct or not? Right. So it's best that you learn that for yourself to maintain your own sovereignty than to always, you know, and I used to do this. I always went to my mentors to ask them, should I do this? Should I do that? You know, and I can provide, or they can provide some insights, but there's no one that can tell you better than yourself, you know, what's the right thing to do. Because everyone else is going to tell you things based on their own experiences or projections, you know. And so I really want to empower people more than anything. So that's where I weave in, you know, ways that people can start to, you know, learn theta healing themselves. It's not the most complicated method, but I think we all have a birthright to have that connection to source. It doesn't have to be only, you know, spiritual people and rabbis and priests, you know. So that's the unfortunate part, is I think that we've all given our power away, we've given our power away to experts, quote unquote, because we think they've done the research, you know, they have the voice. And so we've stopped thinking for ourselves, you know, as a society, we've stopped questioning. We've stopped doing our own research. We've stopped listening to our own selves, and just being like, all right, that's easier. Somebody else can tell me, you know, what to do. So we've been ingrained generally as a population to do that. And so it's a little bit of, reconfiguring how we work and how our mindset is about discernment, like what's real, what's not, what's the truth. So the more work you have, you're doing on yourself with this, the more you can understand, you know, okay, even if I'm recruiting someone to work with me, are they really truly in alignment with me and my values and the way that I work, you know, as an example, but there can be many. My first instance in the spiritual world started in a mystery school, which I really jumped off to the deep end, but I was searching for.
Can you explain mystery school? Because it's funny, I always hate calling her a massage person that I see.
Sure.
Stand an appointment with her every week. And she was out all of last week at mystery school. Mm-hmm. And we had talked about it, but can you explain that for us?
I mean, listen, there now at this point, I think there's a lot of different schools of thought that now call themselves a mystery school. So it is, it's kind of difficult to distinguish one from another these days. But the specific school that I went through, you know, their proclamation is that it did come from a long lineage of shaman going back to the age of King Solomon. So many, many years back. And so they pride themselves on really keeping intact the specific healings and specific, in particular, they teach hermetic principles and the laws of the universe. And so, and Kabbalah as well, from an energetic standpoint. There is the, you know, Kabbalah Center, which a lot of people know, you know, the Madonna made it famous. But, I think that has a really beautiful, you know, intellectual classes around Kabbalah, so you can intellectualize it. But what's missing from that part is the energetic aspect that they don't necessarily teach, I think, until you really get to a super high level. This particular school, you know, I went through a 10-month journey of what was like energetically climbing the tree of life. You start at the bottom of the tree, and then once you climb to the top, you're at, you know, your next tree, and then, you know, you continue to climb and climb. Their philosophy is that we somehow, fell from some other more beautiful, more conscious space. And we wanted to be like the creator. And so we went through this process of falling through the tree of life down to this plane of existence. And now our aim is to go back up and to purify ourselves through the process to really becoming more like God ultimately. Mm. So it's a summary, but obviously there's so much depth to go into. Yep. Yeah.
Wow. So one of the things you also espouse is this whole thing around upgrading your wheel of life and the life audit and how that may affect existing social connections and relationships. Do you find that to be one of the toughest aspects of your work for people to undertake? That shifting of relationships and the realization that relationships that are important to them might not allow them to thrive and be their best selves.
You know, the wheel of life is a term that's become pretty popular in kind of life coaching in general. But it's really just to pinpoint that, you know, everything, we are like a whole organism, right? So if you're going to the doctor for your knee, you know, I think generally we don't talk about how there's other aspects of your body that could be affecting your knee. And so it's the same with your life in general. So if there's an issue in one area of your wheel of life, so, you know, and that could encompass many different components, like, you know, your community, your friendships, your family relationships, your partner, you know, other aspects that are really important to you in particular. Maybe that for you, that could be adventure and travel. So, you know, the wheel of life can kind of be customized for the specific individual, like it is like a vision board, ultimately, where you can cut different areas of your life and into, you know, different parts of the pie. And so, you know, if you're trying to manifest something into your life, ultimately, it's not enough to rely on the law of attraction or getting yourself into like a fun state and like visualizing it. You know, all of those things are marvelous, but at the end of the day, I think we've all experienced how we might get some kind of version of what we wanted, but there's some distortion to it, right? And so we might have manifested that relationship we were looking for, but then, you know, 3 months in, we realize, wait a second, you know, there's certain aspects here that I didn't quite think about. In terms of what I wanted for my relationships, I wasn't clear enough about the things that really mattered to me. So I manifested something I thought I wanted. But in fact, as I'm going through the experience, I realize it's not really a match. So I think that's part of the problem, is that we're all good at manifesting things. We've manifested different jobs and opportunities. But is it really what we want? That's, I think, the main issue underlying it. And so it's a process of really getting to know yourself on a very deep, deep level to get yourself closer and closer and closer to that which you desire. And the thing is, we're ever evolving. So what you desire today, you know, in a year from now, you might be at a new level, and then you think, okay, well, this is a level I've normalized. Like, what's next? What's the next level of what I desire? So we're constantly changing what we want, and so I think relationships are, you know, one, a great way to show that to us. But also to show us, you know, again, patterns that we might have with family. You know, oftentimes they remind us of family members, because there's certain things that you're still triggered by and you still have to work out. And so they're there, and they're a perfect person to work those things out with, because you're seeing it once again reflected. And if you're watching and being very conscious and mindful of all those signals, and you know how to work through that, then it kind of becomes a game, right? Then it's like, all right, okay, what is this showing me? And then how can I move through this very quickly? And sometimes, you know, the other person can shift when you shift, you know. I found that time and again, you know, one person I worked with recently, she was talking about her husband and, you know, the different dynamics. And then we worked together and she said the next day he came and apologized for everything that happened 5 years ago, that was like the key factor that put a wedge between them. And it came out of the blue. I mean, she didn't prompt him, nothing, you know, and it just because she released it energetically, or she came to realize that specific point in time was why, you know, they were now kind of not really speaking to each other. And so, you know, once they had that conversation, things became a lot smoother. So sometimes it's very interesting that when you do work on yourself, like the other person could actually change their behavior, which is, you know, I'm always mind blown by. It's not a guarantee, but it does happen.
So it didn't come out of the blue, so to speak.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. In the end.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
We literally have about 30 to 45 seconds left.
Wow, that went by
so quick. It was just beautiful time spent with you. Is there anything in the next 30 seconds you would like to leave with us or ask us before you depart?
I guess my parting words. I think I would just like to enable people to think bigger. That's ultimately what it is. It's, you know, I think we all set ourselves small, set our goals small. And when you really can tap into different methods where you can be connected to a higher intelligence, let's say, whatever it is that you want to call it, but then you are not alone in what you're pursuing. So then, you know, there's different resources and people and other things can come through to help you really master a bigger vision for yourself, right? And so I just want to encourage people to think a little bit bigger about what is possible for them, and you know, to really first and foremost think that it's possible to do something fun and that lights them up, and that there is a way to do that and make a lot of money as well. You know, I'm not gonna, you know, be practical about it.
That lump is coming out.
I love it. Yeah.
So, you know, we hate to see you go, but is there a place that our audience can find you?
Yes, they can go to my website. It's michelleperade.com. So, Michelle with one L, Michelle, Parade.com.
Awesome.
And I have a fun free quiz, archetype quiz on there if anyone wants to take a look, and it helps you live by your archetype design. So it's another metric that I use to help people, understand a little bit more about their gifts.
Well, thank you for joining us, Michelle. It's been awesome having you.
Yeah, thank you, Michelle.
Thank you for joining us.
And check us out on TCVpodcast.com.